Diana, where are you? Woohoo! Diana is going to be speaking to us today. Wonderful, Diana. Do you need a stand?
Great.
Can I just pray for you? Yeah, let's just pray for Diana before she shares. Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you so much for what you've been doing in Diana this week and what you've been giving her to share with us. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would speak through her, Lord. I just pray that she would know your presence. She would know your words and your confidence as she speaks, Lord. And yeah, we just thank you, Lord, that you're just so working in her, Lord. And we just thank you for what you're going to speak to us, what you're going to just challenge us with, Holy Spirit. And we open up our hearts just to hear your voice and to hear what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, so those that have been with us, we've been studying the passage from 1 Corinthians 13 about love, which has been great. And today I'm going to be talking about love keeps no record of wrongs. I'm just going to be really real with you guys today. I've been really struggling this week, really struggling. And it's been quite a difficult week. I just felt really tired and stressed. And when I have been spending time with God, I've just felt him just give me so much joy. And that has been my strength this week. But last night, I was just panicking. And I had a bit of a panic attack and was just crying and just thought, I just really don't want to do this today. And I just felt like running away. And thank God for good friends. Laura invited me around. I went round to Laura's house. She prayed for me. And then Vicky came over. She even gave up watching the X Factor final to be there, which was a big sacrifice. I know how much she loves X Factor. So thank you for that. And she did an exchange prayer with me, and God is just hilarious. It's basically, I don't know if any of you guys know about exchange prayer, but you kind of go to, you know, kind of to a place with God, and he sort of speaks to you in that place, and you sort of imagine how you're feeling as an object or a word or something like that, and then do an exchange with God. And I sort of gave over my anxiety and worry about today, and in exchange, he gave me a telephone. And he was like, you can call on me anytime, baby. And I was like, God, you are just so funny. And then I got in my car to drive home afterwards, and Call On Me, you know that song? Cool. No, I'm not going to sing. Call On Me came on the radio, and I was like. So, yeah, basically today I'm kind of, you'll have to forgive me if I don't speak very eloquently, or it's not as structured, as prepared as I'd like to be, but I'm just feeling like I just want to go with what Holy Spirit is saying, and not be confident in myself, but in him and what he wants to speak. Yay! So, yeah, love keeps no record of wrongs, and I've definitely experienced that in my own life. So I'll just start off by sharing a bit of my testimony. Basically, I used to believe in God as when I was little, and I went to church until I was 12 with my mum, who was also a Christian. And I remember when I was a little girl, and I used to get afraid, I used to pray to Jesus when I was like, couldn't sleep or whatever, and he used to come and give me peace, and I used to be able to sleep at night. And I just remembered that last night for some reason. And yeah, when I was 12, we stopped going to church for various reasons and just basically kind of walked away from God in my teen years. And I remember where there was times where I'd go through difficult times and I'd be like, God, you know, if you were real and if you were with me, then I wouldn't be going through this. So there's times where I was just like, oh, God, you're just not real. I don't believe in you anymore. And kind of made some bad choices in my life and just messed up a lot. And so I was in kind of quite a hopeless place, quite a dark place. Until I came to university. And when I was at university, I came to The Journey. Catherine invited me to The Journey. And one day at church, Vicky gave me, she did a talk, and then I went and talked to her afterwards, and she prayed for me, and she gave me Psalm 103, which I'll talk a bit about later. And God just really spoke to me in that dark place, and he just really... he just came in with his light and gave me hope when I was in that hopeless place. And I gave my life to him, and my life's never been the same since then. He's just completely turned my life around, and I've just known his grace in my life in such a massive way. And Yeah. Just knowing him keeping no records of wrongs in my life. Yeah, so this song kept on going round in my head last night. Found Love in a Hopeless Place. Love in a Hopeless Place, that one. And it's such a good song. And I was just thinking that maybe people might feel like I felt those years ago, just feeling like in a hopeless place and dark place. But once you know that there is always hope in Jesus, and that, like we were singing, you know, Jesus breaks every chain. The name of Jesus breaks every chain in our lives. And no matter what we might be feeling, whether we might feel like we're really struggling with sin or shame or sickness or just pain from, you know, past hurts, whatever it is that we might be going through that makes us feel kind of hopeless, there is always hope in Jesus, and he can break any chain in his life. And believe that he's accomplished everything through the cross. You know, he took everything onto himself, all of our sins, past, present, future, all the emotions that go along with that, all the hurts and pains that we feel, all the ways that other people might have wronged us or we might have wronged them, or ways that we might feel about ourselves when we mess up. He's taken all of that, every single thing, from tiny white lies to like huge mistakes to like, you know, people who've murdered, raped, done awful, awful things, great evil. He took everything on himself and experienced the wrath of God so that we wouldn't have to. You know, he was hurt so that we could be healed. And, yeah. And I just think, like, Jesus is amazing, because even right up to the last, you know, his last moments, he showed such incredible compassion. You know, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing," you know, to the people that were murdering him, who were hurting him, who were nailing him to the cross. He said, "Forgive them," you know, with a thief next to him on the cross. You know, he was never going to have an opportunity to read the Bible or, you know, pray or convert or whatever, or go to church. But Jesus didn't care. All he did was he cried out to him for mercy at the last moments. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And we're going to see that thief that was next to Jesus on the cross in heaven when we're there, because of the mercy and compassion of God. And I believe that, you know, through Jesus' blood, we are made perfect and holy and blameless in him. And we're justified by faith through grace alone. You know, it's nothing that we can do in ourselves. You know, we can't just be good, you know, and that's enough. The only way that we can be made perfect and holy and blameless is through him, through what he's done with us. And that doesn't mean we're perfect in ourselves. I know that I still struggle with sin. I still make mistakes. But God's mercies are new for me every day. But in his love and in his blood, what he's done for me, the cross of me, accepting that by faith, he has made me holy and blameless in him. And he's made us all holy and blameless in him, which is amazing. Such good news. And also what I love about the Bible is that it's like God's love story from start to finish. And like, there's so many characters in the Bible that God uses to demonstrate his grace time and time and time again, of how he keeps no record of wrongs. Because I think there's something in us, I don't know if it's just me, but it's almost like an inbuilt resistance to grace sometimes, because it's so unearned. You know, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve what Jesus has done for us. And so we can kind of resist against it. And sometimes when we mess up, we can kind of want to hide from God, like Adam and Eve did, you know, when they first sinned, brought sin into the world. They hid from God. It's a natural reaction, because sometimes we're embarrassed by what we've got, by what we've done, or worried about what he's going to say. But that's why I think that God demonstrates it time and time again in his word, and why Jesus spoke about it so often when he was on the earth, because he really, really wanted us to grasp this amazing love for us that he has, and that love that is so compassionate and gracious and merciful towards us. And a pretty really good example of that from the Bible would be, say, Peter. For example, you know, he was a friend of Jesus. He was really, really close to Jesus. They went through a lot together. He saw him perform great miracles. He saw how much Jesus loved people. He just walked with him through his ministry. And he said, you know, I'd never deny you, Jesus. I would never do that. And yet, when the time came when Jesus really needed him, he denied him 3 times. And Jesus, you know, could have rightfully said, oh, you know what, Peter, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, you don't deserve my compassion. You know, you were my best friend and you just totally denied me and betrayed me. But what does Jesus do? He restores him, redeems him. And he asks Peter 3 times, do you love me? And Peter was like, yes, you know I love you. Yes, I know you love. Yes, you know I love you. 3 times. And he restores him. And then he used Peter as the rock on which the church was built. And I think that's the amazing thing about God is not only does he forgive us, but he completely just wipes the slate clean. He doesn't bring up past mistakes. He says it's completely done. You're as pure as snow. It's forgotten. Move on. Don't keep reliving in that past, because it's like making him relive what he did on the cross all the time. And he's like, I've done it. Hello. You know, I've nailed that sin to the cross. You don't need to keep on reliving it. And as us, as just how Peter was a forgiven person, we are forgiven people. We've encountered the forgiveness of Jesus. And so just as he raised Peter up in this amazing way to be a great leader in the church, I believe that us as his forgiven people will be or being risen up as leaders in the church, as people that are going to do awesome, amazing things for God. He has such awesome plans for us, just as he had for Peter. And as he's redeemed us and restored the mistakes that we've made, he will do amazing things with us, because we're people that have encountered, experienced his grace. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and another good example in the Bible would be King David. He's great. You know, he was a shepherd boy, and God raised him up to be a king. And, you know, he writes all these incredible psalms that God knew that millions and millions of people were going to read. And they're so real, you know, when you read the psalms, they're so real. You can really read those and be authentic with God and worship him and say, actually, yeah, this is what I'm struggling with, and da 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 da. And I think that because David really, you know, messed up in his life, although he was this amazing king, he messed up, you know, he was a murderer, he was an adulterer. And yet, again, God turned his eyes around and used him for great things. And one of the psalms that he wrote was Psalm 103, which I'm going to read, which I mentioned earlier. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I just think it's amazing. It's like God's forgiven all of our sins, all of them. And that's like, sometimes that's a daily choice, isn't it? To walk in that repentance. Sometimes we have to every day say, I'm sorry, God, I've messed up. But he does forgive us all of our sins. He wants to give us good things. And this was the passage I said that Vicky gave to me, and particularly the verse, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions for us. And that just really like spoke to me at that time, because that's what I really needed to hear, is I really needed to understand that God loved me. He loved me, and that he'd forgiven me, and everything from the past was completely gone, and that he kept no record of it at all. No record, recollection. It was as if it never happened. And that just totally blew me away. And that's what led me, was understanding that kindness. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And I think people in the world around us really need to have a love encounter with a God who is kind and who is merciful, and who, no matter how far they've walked away from God, and no matter what they've done, no matter how awful it might be, there is a God who loves them. He's not judging them. He's not like, oh, you're a terrible person, look what you've done. He's just like, I'm here with open arms, and I'm waiting for you to receive me by faith, because he's already done it all on the cross. He's already done everything, and he's just waiting for us, or waiting for people to have that revelation of his kindness that draws them into his open arms. That just wait. He's just waiting. And a story, it's a very famous one, parable, prodigal son, is something that I really relate to. So I'm going to kind of read that now. It's in Luke 15, if you guys want to turn to it. Verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' He got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." How cool is that? Who can relate to that story? Yeah. Yes. Like, what amazes me about that is the fact that God just wasn't sort of, or Father didn't care about his dignity. he just ran towards his son. He didn't go, oh, well, he's coming back, but I'm just so angry with him. I can't believe that he's done this. I can't believe that he's gone off and squandered all my wealth and made stupid decisions and da da da. And again, the father would have been in his right mind to feel like that. But instead, he was just so excited by the fact that his son was there, that he'd come back, that he was safe and sound, that he was lost, and now that he's found, they had this massive celebration and just run towards him with open arms. And I think that that's what God is like with us. He is a lovesick father that's just waiting with a big smile on his face, waiting for us to just run into his arms and to know his amazing love for us and his grace towards us. And I think that's the story of salvation, but it's also a story of repentance as well, that every time we make a mistake, every time we mess up, he's there like that lovesick father waiting for us to just be embraced by him. Does that make sense? Good. And recently I was having a conversation with my grandfather. And my Nana died in July. And ever since then, my granddad's been a lot more kind of open to the gospel. And actually found out, which was like random, was that he was actually used to be a Christian. When he was 22, he was baptized and everything. And I was like, you never told me that. He's like, he came to my baptism and everything, knows obviously that we're Christians, and he never told us. And he was like, oh yeah, but I'm backslidden and all this stuff. And I said to him, well, I've always, a bit like Laura actually, her testimony you know, sometimes with your family, it's quite difficult to share like God with them because you're worried what they're going to think. And I think I always took a step back with my grandparents because I was sort of, you know, worried what they think and stuff. But since my Nana died, I've sort of thought, you know, life's too short. And actually, my granddad really, really needs to know the love of God. And especially at the moment, you know, God is a God who comforts those that mourn, and he really needs to know that comfort. And so I was having a conversation with him, and I was just talking to him about, you know, I know you're saying you're backslidden, but actually, you know, God is gracious and he wants to draw you back to him. And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, right, like the story of the prodigal son and like the lost coin and the lost sheep. And I was like, yeah, yeah, like this. And actually says, which I told him at the end, says, at the story of the lost sheep, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And I said that to him, and I think he's just mulling over at the moment, but I think it really touched him, because actually he realized that this whole time, actually God's not been angry with him. And not being like, oh, well, it's too late. You know, it's been 60 years. You can't just sort of walk back into my life kind of thing. But actually, God is waiting for him. And there's been, yeah, quite a few wobbly moments, I think, where he's just really starting to encounter the love of God. And I'm so excited by that because, you know, I became a Christian 7 years ago. And since then, my mum and my dad have both become Christians. And I have to admit that I didn't have much faith for that. When I first became a Christian, I was really, really praying for it. But part of me was like, oh, well, they're a bit old. And, you know, at that point, as Vicky knows, I thought anyone over the age of 25 was past it. So I definitely thought my parents were past it. You know, I was like, oh, well, maybe they're just, you know, not going to suddenly be like, oh, yeah, God's real after all these years of not believing it, you know. But amazingly, God is so, so good that over period of years, you know, they started to, you know, have a revelation of God's love, and now, you know, they're walking with him, which is amazing. And I really, really believe that that my granddad is going to encounter love of God as well, so pray for him. Yeah, so kind of talked about how God's love keeps no record of our wrongs. But I think, as I think I mentioned before, that the world really needs to know the kindness of a saviour, of their saviour. And I felt like when we went to Thailand recently, and we got back a couple of weeks ago, and while we were there, we were doing various things. But one of the things that we did was prison ministry. And I just felt like so excited about going into this prison, right? I was just like so full of joy. It was really random because I was like, well, it's not the nicest place in the world. Believe me, you wouldn't want to end up in a Thai prison. It's horrible. You know, they have like room like the size of that kitchen, and you've got like 25 men in there all just stuffed into this small space and one hole in the middle for your toilet. It's just horrible. But I just felt so much joy going in there, and I just wanted to sit in there with them all day and just like chat to them and just share God's love with them, because, you know, I think God can give a stuff what they've done. To be honest, I went, I didn't give a stuff about their past. I just know that all of them needed to encounter the love of Jesus. And it was amazing, because at one point we were giving out like bread and water and little Christian books and stuff, and these two ladies ran forward, like they read the books, and they're like, oh, we want to encounter Jesus, we want to know Jesus. And they ran forward and we got a chance to pray for them, and they just looked so joyful. It's amazing. And I was like, wow, they're in prison, and you know, it's not a very nice place to be, but they encountered joy because they had a revelation that God had forgiven them, and that he keeps no records of their wrongs, that all the things that have happened in the past are now forgiven, and that actually they can find freedom in him. They might be in a, you know, a physical prison, but they are spiritually free because they've encountered his love. And I think that's why I felt so joyful, because I thought, well, I've got nothing to offer these people at all, but the only thing that I have to offer going in is God's love. And that's the only thing that will bring them hope. And I felt like that's what we were doing when we went in, was we brought them hope of a loving, kind Saviour who can redeem them, restore them and set them free. So that was like really exciting. And another story from Thailand, which kind of blew me away, was I was talking to this guy, because we were working in like a children's center, and one of the guys was like the dad of one of the girls there, and he was just sitting outside, and he just looked really, really sad for various reasons. Basically, he couldn't look after his child, so his child was being fostered and then adopted out by another couple. So obviously he was really devastated, and I just felt like God wanted me to go over and speak to him. And he was telling me a story about how he'd met this prostitute on the beach, and they'd end up, you know, have a starting relationship and then having a baby together. And this lady was so desperate and had no money at all that she sold their baby when she was 3 months old. And I was like, wow. And I said to him, can you forgive her for that? And he said, yes. Which is like amazing. And I found out they'd actually just become a Christian like a month before. And he said, I wouldn't have been able to forgive her before, but because I've encountered the forgiveness of God in his own life, he was able to forgive this woman. And I mean, that's like a pretty awful thing to do. But I think the amazing thing about God is he doesn't see the sin and the evil. No, sorry. He does see the sin and the evil, but judges that, not the person. So he always thinks the best of us. He always sees the best. He always, his love for us never fails in that sense, that he always, just makes sense. He always sees the best. He always wants to see the potential in us, the gold in us. Even when people do things like that, or we do things like that, all sin is equal to him. And he's still ready to take it on the cross, so he sees the evil itself and hates that, but not the person. So he's redeemed that man's life, which is incredible. And now he, because I said to him, well, do you feel like, how do you feel? And he said, actually, I feel hopeful that things are going to get better. And he's only got that in Jesus, let's face it. And I think, like, I realised that whether we're on the other side of the world or whether we're in, you know, like doing life over, living just in the village, whether it's in our workplaces or in university or wherever we are, whether it be in our families or with our friends that don't know Jesus, we have this incredible message to bring them, that God is a God of love and he forgives and he's merciful. That's all we have to give. And I think that's what makes Christianity stand out from all other religions, is that God is a God of grace. God is a God that loves. That makes sense. And working with young people, I have to say, I have to be a walking testimony of this, really do. It's a struggle. for those who don't know, I work for, I lead the Prince's Trust team in Egham. So I work with vulnerable young people every day. And as much as I totally love them, or I really, really love them, but it's really challenging. And I really feel like God's totally put me there for a reason, and he's put all of those young people in my heart massively. And I really care for them. I'm so proud of them. But every day is a struggle. And I really need God's strength to go in there and to show them fresh grace every single day. Because I'll go in, I'll be told to F off, you know, I'll be sworn out of it, you know, because they do really love us and they respect us, but they take all their anger out on us sometimes. And, you know, they mess up, they made really bad choices. You know, I'll go in and be like, oh yeah, I got arrested last night because I stole my mate's car and drove 100 miles an hour down Staines Causeway. It's like, why would you do that? But God's given me grace to be able to just love them through all of that, and every day go in and go, okay, that's all right, we'll deal with that, and I'll help you grow, and I'll in any way I can and help you develop. But I think the most important thing for me to do is not be like, oh well, that was really stupid, and like every time they make another mistake keep on bringing it up. Because God doesn't do that with us. You know, he doesn't keep on bringing up past mistakes. He's like, okay, we've dealt with that, let's move on. And I have to be like that with them. And it's just, God's really shown me what real love looks like. And for a long time, I just kept on praying, God, please show me what real love looks like. Love that's really challenging. Because I don't know what, I didn't know what that really looked like. I think I really believed in God's love and I encountered God's love. But what does it mean to love when it's really hard? And God is showing me that. And that every single person in the whole world, whether they're right in front of us or they're on the other side of the world, needs to know the kindness of their Saviour. So, how about forgiving other people? Yeah. Hands up who's ever found it difficult to forgive someone. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting when Jesus says, when Peter says to Jesus, oh, how many times should you forgive someone? 7 times? And I bet he thought he was being really compassionate. And then he was like, oh, yeah, Jesus is going to be really impressed with me because I said, you forgive people 7 times. And Jesus was like, no, try 7 times 70. That's 490 times, right? And obviously that was more metaphorical because he's talking about unlimited forgiveness. And that must have really like blown Peter's mind that actually, even if someone, you know, wrongs you like 70 times in one day and, you know, treats you badly, calls you names, does, you know, really hurts you, he still says, you know, you must forgive that person. But the reality of that is obviously challenging. And I think that as much as, I don't know, making sense, but from day to day, choices to forgive, but then there's also deeper unforgiveness as well that comes from maybe things from the past, things that people have done that have really, really hurt us and that are really deep rooted and painful. And that I don't have any, you know, real answers for that. I just know the only answer is Jesus, that he's the only one that can help us to forgive things that go really, really deep. And I know I went through a process last year of really realizing that I needed to forgive a lot of people in my life. And that was a really painful process, but I knew that I had to do it. And there was times where I really wanted to forgive people that had wronged me, but I wasn't ready. And I think I first needed to pray, God help, like soften my heart, let my heart be ready so that I can forgive. Because I think we need to be in that place where we are ready to forgive people who have hurt us. Does that make sense? And God is so patient with us, he understands that that it's not always easy to forgive when people have really hurt us. But he's patient with us in wanting us to get to that place and being faithful to us to see that through. So there's still people in my life I do need to forgive. I'm just going to be real about that. But I know that I really, really want to. So, yeah. And I think that, you know, Jesus is very... uses quite strong words, actually. Where he's, like, saying, forgive, or you won't be forgiven, you know. And there's something about forgiving others that is really powerful, because there's like spiritual bondage that comes from unforgiveness, both for the person that you haven't forgiven, but also for yourself. Because the spiritual bondage of unforgiveness in that person's life can hold them in chains, and only you've got the power to break that. Or if you feel unforgiveness in your lives towards people, you can carry a lot of pain and bitterness around it for years and years and years. And I know that my tendency is to suppress the way I feel and not always deal with it straight away. So I bottle things in. And that's why I thought many years, oh, yeah, I've forgiven that person. Yeah, I've forgiven that person. But actually, I just bottled it in and didn't really deal with it. And so I didn't think that I felt angry. And then all of a sudden, all this anger comes up and I'm like, oh, actually, no, I haven't forgiven that person. And I had to go through that process of forgiving them. And, yeah, I think sometimes we can have the tendency to do that. And also there can be guilty feelings that come from not forgiving others. Or maybe that's just me, but because we've experienced so much grace from God and him forgiving us, that actually it can be really hard when we find it challenging to forgive other people when they've wronged us. And so you can kind of feel that guilt in that. But God never wants us to feel condemned. He understands, like God really does understand how we feel and why it's difficult for us to forgive sometimes. So I suppose just to finish up, any practical advice I would have would be firstly to be quick to repent, instead of don't hide from God. You make a mistake, just be real with him, because he knows you've done it anyway. Just say, actually, yeah, God, just really messed up there, and I'm really sorry. And just be open just to receiving his love and his grace straight away. And once you've received it, that's it. It's dealt with, it's done. He's not going to bring it up again. Just receive it by faith. Be quick to forgive on a daily basis if people offend you. Just the whole Stephen Clemmock thing, stop, think with your heart. Does anyone remember that? It was like stuck with me. It was like, stop, think with your heart. Because often, you know, sometimes you get offended by things people say and people just really are totally oblivious to the fact that they've offended you because they don't actually mean to. So it's kind of like on a daily basis, we're like, okay, even if that person doesn't know that they've hurt me, I still need to forgive them because I feel that hurt from what they've said. So be quick to forgive. Be real with God. Always just be real about how you feel. Just go to him and say, you know what, actually, God, I'm finding it really difficult to forgive that person. Or actually, yeah, God, I really messed up today. I'm really sorry. Just talk to him like you would talk to your friend. He's, you know, our best friend. He's our father. He's our savior. He's our lover. You know, he is everything to us. He wants to know everything. He wants to have that really real relationship with us. And that's what he died for on the cross, so that we could have that. So be real with him about how you feel. And also just spend time mulling over the goodness of God. Think about these things. Think about ways in which you've encountered his grace in your life. And spend time just really mulling over that and just praising him for how amazing he is, that he's done that for us. Just spend time just really thinking, wow, God, you're so awesome. Everything you've done for me, how you set me free, is just incredible. And finally, just have people that you can be accountable to. So have people in your life that you know that you can talk to and just say anything to and pray with and say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this sin in my life or this issue in my life. I'm really struggling with this pain that I feel about stuff that's gone on in the past. I'm really struggling to forgive this person. You know, have that person or people in your life that you can be accountable to who can help you to go through that process and who can pray with you and just be real with you and you know that they're not going to judge you, but they're just going to love you through that and take time out with you to go through that together. That's it really.
Wow, thanks Diana.